Hi, and welcome to Last Man Standing here with me, Paul Stevenson, here live with you on Republic Broadcasting Network. Welcome to the show, everyone. Before I go any further, please do remember to be as generous as you can and donate to the cause here in RBN. You can donate by credit card, debit card on 512-246-9549, extension 3, or on toll-free 800-724-2719. You can mail in checks, cash, money orders to RBN, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664, with checks, cash, money orders, whatever you want. If you want to donate to me, you can do that on PayPal at Stevenson_P5@sky.com. Not something I ever really asked for, but been a tough little spell for me personally. So you can do that again. It's Stevenson_P5@sky.com. Can do no harm to ask, I guess, occasionally. Yeah, so I think there's nowhere else to start than what's happening in the Middle East. I can't imagine too many people who are remotely informed or caring about world peace are very happy today, save Benjamin Netanyahu and people like John Bolton and other war-loving Zionists around the world. I guess Lindsey Graham was having a good day. Finally, the war looks like it could be on with Iran. And of course, all the Christian, in quotes, Christian Zionists who see Israel, in quotes, Israel. You know, you stick a name, you put the name Israel on a rogue state in the Middle East, a state that likes to exterminate and forcibly displace its neighbors. And of course, they're Jewish and they make all sorts of wild claims about their ancient claims to that land. And you get a bunch of dumb Christians who decide it's a great idea to support this rogue, murderous state. Believing that whatever they do has God's blessing. And it really is incredible to still hear them sometimes, despite the 35,000 that we know of that are above the rubble, that have been slaughtered in a mass murdering campaign since October by the Israeli regime, that they still persist in insisting that this is God's work. I'm glad to say, because it's something I've been saying for years now, and I've done a lot of videos and interviews with people like Gary DeMar and Steve Gregg, who are excellent Bible scholars who also know church history, pushing back on this Christian Zionist insanity nonsense for years. And I'm glad to say Tucker Carlson did an interview with a Christian pastor or a priest in Palestine, because the demonization of Muslims and this narrative that comes out of Israel, and is very prevalent actually in my own country, that well, all Muslims are evil and they're not only Israel's enemy but our own enemy. And I admit that, you know, in my own country we have too many Muslims, and if they're left unchecked, it is a problem. Many of the leaders in the Middle East, including leaders that our countries have involved themselves in removing and murdering, and Saddam Hussein and people like Assad in Syria have kept in check. So the state of Israel likes to use American soldiers and British soldiers to remove governments that have prevented and controlled Islamic extremism from spreading. Meanwhile, our governments have, on the one hand, saying we're fighting ISIS, have been funding and arming them, particularly in the case of Assad in Syria, to remove Assad as a proxy using ISIS soldiers. So it's all over the place. The double standards are odious. And the propaganda, and sadly, the ignorance, particularly among professing Christians who support this, is equally odious. In fact, I've often said that a Christian Zionist is nothing less than an oxymoron. So I'm glad that Dr. Carson exposed that, because I've been saying for years that there are Christians in Palestine. They're not all evil Muslims who are wake up every day with no other thought than to exterminate Israel, because you see, Israel's innocent. It's never done anything wrong. It's always been minding its own business, trying very hard to get on with its neighbors, and has done nothing to anger Muslims at all. The Muslims are simply anti-Semitic, hateful people who have nothing else to think about except killing those Jews simply because they are Jews. In fact, I heard as much today from the Israeli president, Isaac Herzog, talking about how Israel is a nation of peace. And he was speaking to Sky News, and he literally said this sort of stuff. I mean, this state is out of control, and it is incessantly spouting hyperbole of lies. They're not just subtle lies. They are bold in your face, stating the complete opposite of what's true. And despite the whole world watching on in the last 6 months, witnessing the horror show, they have the temerity and the audacity to make statements like this. Also, the usual, we are here to protect Europe from this empire of evil. These kind of simplistic type arguments of civilization versus barbarism and good versus evil. And so they, despite the obvious of who's really evil in all of this, or I should say, who is the most evil. I'm not excusing entirely that there are elements of evil in the wider Islamic world in the Middle East. But if you know anything about the history, they are not the ones who are provoking everything. And particularly when you look at the history of Palestine and the history of that whole region, that region since 1948 and before it, it's quite clear who are the evil ones. But we had this, and this is a quote: "We are here to protect Europe from the empire of evil." So Zelensky does the same thing in Ukraine. We are told that we must supply weapons to Ukraine and money, billions of dollars and billions of pounds in our case over here, and billions of euros, because they're doing us a service, you see. The Jew in Kiev and the Jews in Israel, they're doing us a favor. We send them billions, but they're doing us a favor Because they're on the front line of the battle between good and evil, you see. So if we want to keep it over there, well, we need to keep supplying them. I mean, they're con men. As the argument goes in Ukraine, and the argument goes here too, I suppose, that if we don't stop them over there, then we'll, if we don't stop them, or sorry, we have to stop them over there, because if we don't, they'll be here. It's the domino theory. If Israel's defeated, well, Iran will be in Europe, I guess, by Christmas. And it's the same with Zelensky's BS. If we don't defeat Putin in Ukraine, then they will be coming for us here, the Baltic nations. In fact, I heard this clown on Fox News today, who was interviewing John Bolton, making this very point that only these guys in Fox News understand the reality of the situation, because they criticize the Biden administration amazingly for he's too soft. It's appeasement. It's this appeasement argument. Go back, look, goes back to looking at what happened in World War II. Oh, Neville Chamberlain, look what happened. He tried to appease Hitler. The myth of appeasement, and it's a myth that persists today, along with this domino theory as well, that once Putin is finished with Ukraine, then he's coming to the Baltic nations before making his way through Europe, and then it'd be over in the UK, and I guess it'd be in the United States before you know it as well. So this is what we're told. Like I said, I heard John Bolton on Fox News today. I mean, Fox is the worst. And like I said, these types of, in quotes, conservative types, they seem to think that Joe Biden is too soft on Iran, and he gets all sorts of criticism, despite the fact that he's given the Israelis a blank check since October, which has resulted in them destroying their own reputation on the international stage. Which is another reason why Netanyahu wants this war, so they can distract from the PR disaster, including killing three British aid workers only 10 days ago. So they have had, who are two of which were ex-Royal Marines. So Netanyahu's got all sorts of personal reasons to get this war going, and I have mixed feelings about what happened last night. Because, on the one hand, the Iranians had to respond. On the other hand, any kind of response, and I was, I was hoping I might have had a chance to do a show maybe before the attack, because I was going to say that it doesn't matter what Iran does. Iran could have fired one missile. And it would have been the same type of thing that we've witnessed today, the usual hysteria from Israel. Like I said, this guy, Isaac Herzog, he said, this is a declaration of war. This is unprecedented. And this is the kind of rhetoric you're hearing from the Zionists. But it wouldn't have mattered. One missile, and it would have been the same hysteria. Amplified, hyperbole, outrage. We must defend ourselves. Nothing about Iran's right to defend itself, of course, after they attacked and blew up the Iranian consulate in Damascus, killing seven leading Iranian military figures, including two generals there, which is, again, this is a violation of international law and international norms and norms of the region. I'm glad to say some media have been at least prefacing these attacks by Iran last night with the fact that it is a revenge attack, but others haven't bothered. Again, it's like it was just a out of the blue attack from Iran last night. But again, this guy Herzog, he said, "We want peace." Unfortunately, it all started on October 7th. It's like the war in Ukraine started on the 22nd of November, or sorry, the 22nd of February, 2022. There's no context, no history, no nothing. So this is the kind of line that you hear from these people. But like I said, it wouldn't have mattered what happened. Israel are a salivating mad dog for a war with Iran, partly to take to distract from this nightmare PR campaign in Gaza. But this is part of the wider Israeli plan for hegemony in that region. And Iran, as they see it, is their biggest threat. Whether it is or not, that's how they see it, and they want to get rid of Iran. And of course, the United States presence was quick to be there. But the Iranians had a difficult line to walk because they had to respond, but not in a way which was automatically going to escalate this whole situation. So they fired what some, I think, the report seemed to be, and of course, it's difficult for us watching on, but the reports are that it was about 200 projectiles, which were the majority of which were drones and missiles, I think cruise missiles and some ballistic missiles. But this attack was telegraphed big time. So immediately, it's not necessarily designed to cause maximum damage. If you want to cause maximum damage, you don't telegraph the whole situation. So they knew this was coming. They had time to prepare. In fact, you could watch the news and the reports last night where they were reporting that, the Iranians had already fired some of the drones, but they wouldn't arrive in Israel for 2 hours. So, I mean, immediately you're seeing that this is somewhat of a symbolic gesture. Like, you're not going to cause that much damage if you're giving your enemy that much time to prepare. So they knew they were coming. The whole media knew it was coming. And ultimately, there was no real serious damage done. I think the Iron Dome, with the assistance of the Royal Air Force and the US Air Force, shot down most of these drones. Some of them were shot down before they reached Israel. A lot of them were shot down by air defenses in Israel. I think there was minor damage done to one military target. None of them were aimed at civilians. And I think out of all the missiles and drones fired, there was one 10-year-old child that was injured. Now, so this could easily be left and seen, okay, as a response to the attack on the Iranian consulate in Damascus, and enough, leave it alone, leave it there. It's done. In fact, the Iranian said, this concludes the matter for us. But as we all know, the United States and the likes of Lindsey Graham and the John Boltons of this world, and Netanyahu, Smotrich, Ben-Gvir, they have been looking for this opportunity. So, I think it's highly unlikely. It's almost a given that the Israelis will respond to this. In fact, John Bolton was quoted in saying, when I watched him in Fox News, that not only does Israel need to respond, but they need to respond disproportionately. In other words, a much bigger attack than what the Iranians did. So, I don't know. What do you think? To me, this is almost inevitably, this is the Israelis we're dealing with here, going to escalate into a wider conflict, because if they attack Iran in any significant manner, which I expect they will, well, Iran, I doubt, will be telegraphing the next attack so obviously. And I also, I think there was some purpose to what the Iranians were doing. I think they were testing and or depleting some of the Israeli air defense missiles, because those things are not cheap. I'm sure the Israelis have a lot of them, but still, they would have used a lot of them last night. So there would have been, it's kind of like the Russians have been doing this in Ukraine as well. They tended to like overwhelm Ukrainian air defenses as a deliberate tactic to deplete their air defenses. And so I think that was part of it as well. But like I said, I think the gloves will be off properly. And if Israel replies, I think the next response from Iran, the media will be reporting only after the fact. This will not be something that we'll all be watching real time, waiting to happen. So, also, of course, the Russians have already weighed in. Putin has warned that if the United States are involved, he didn't specifically say if Israel responds. I guess the way he looks at it is if Israel and Israel alone, is responding and prepared to fight its own fight. But of course, Israel never does. Israel likes to throw its weight around because it's got the United States and the UK or whatever, particularly the United States on its side. But it might not be so bold if it had to, if it had to fight its own fight. But of course, it doesn't. It relies on its great allies, and it repeats the kind of nonsense that we're all in this together, and we are here to be, protect Europe from this empire of evil. So we get all this type of stuff all the time, and that your fight is our fight. Well, not really. We don't behave necessarily. We have people who are as crazy, I guess, in the likes of John Bolton and Lindsey Graham. But I think for the most part, I was looking at the comments here earlier in the UK, and sorry, but not a lot of support for what's happening over there at all. It's one thing, Bolton and people like this, or Lindsey Graham, who are being paid, and Rishi Sunak, who are again on the take from the lobby. But when you look at your average people, there's no support for it at all. Now, when you look at Fox News comments, it's a little different. It's probably 80% of people giving cringeworthy Bible quotes about how Israel are God's people and blah blah. Again, a bunch of ignorant Christian Zionists and Zionists generally, but everyone else seems to thankfully be informed and see what's going on. That it is not per victim Israel in the Middle East, it is perpetrator, aggressor, psychopath, rogue state Israel who are the problem. If Europe was, for example, notwithstanding with mass immigration in recent decades, but if Europe had remained completely its native white European population, and suddenly you had, I don't know, Muslims arriving in Denmark, and over a period of 80 years, ethnically cleansing the Danes, and this was all being led, well, say it was being led by Iran or something like that, and supported by Iran. And the white Europeans weren't very happy with this little Muslim nation that suddenly arrived in Denmark and killed all the Danes and was terrifying all the leaders and intimidating all the leaders of Europe. Well, that's kind of what you'd have in the other way around, because you've got this aberration of a Jewish state in the middle of a territory which is vastly a and historically an Arab Muslim area, throwing their weight around with the backing of the United States. And yet people still blame those evil Muslims. Well, why don't you just leave them alone? You know? There was relative peace in that area, in Palestine. There was Christians, Muslims, and Jews who lived together, and there was relative peace there until that Zionist entity arrived there causing the trouble. So it's good that people, whether it's because of what's been happening since October 7th, or I think that's a big part of it, but people are not supporting Israel. You know, it's okay for Rishi Sunak to come out and say, oh, we stand with Israel, and we will be with Israel and with their security and all the usual stuff. But the people are not behind them, like it is the case with most things. The governments do the opposite of what the people actually want, which is why this whole this whole facade of democracy is such a facade. So anyway, I'd love to know what you think. If you want to call in, you can do that today. Are we on the brink of World War III? Because like I said, Putin has said that, I was going to say, that he will get involved if America is involved in strikes against Iran. So if America's going to be bringing, or Israel wants to bring in his buddies, then he said he's not going to stand by and do nothing.
Truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Welcome back to Last Man Standing, here with me, Paul Stevenson, here on Republic Broadcasting Network. So, yes, I was just saying that the Russians, Putin has himself has already came out and said that if the United States is involved in any attacks on Iran, then they are not going to stand by and do nothing. And considering that, like I said, the Israelis, you know, they like to throw their weight around because they've got their big buddy, the United States, involved, rather than fighting their own battles. Because I think the insinuation is there that if Israel strike Iran on their own, then the Iranians are more than capable of dealing with the Israelis. But if the United States get involved, then Russia are willing to stand in and sponsor the Iranians here, so to meet might with might. In fact, if ex-military guys like Colonel McGregor are to be taken seriously. I think they are. The Russians would probably defeat the United States military in its current state. He believes it's not in good shape at all. Certainly the UK's military is pathetic, quite frankly. So this is very, very dangerous. And unfortunately, I wish we could say, well, we can trust the Israelis. They are characterized by great patience and restraint. So I'm sure they'll do the mature thing and make sure that things don't go crazy. But of course, unfortunately, they are a mad dog. So no such restraint will be employed, I'm sure. But, and I'm not sure if this is to be believed or not, or whether this is for Biden's domestic audience in a presidential year, an election year, but apparently he has told the Israelis that if they do retaliate, that the U.S. won't be supporting them. Now, this is the opposite of this ironclad support that he declared for Israel last week. So, you know, Biden is very much in the clutches of the Zionist lobby. We've seen that. He has shown no spine, no character, no humanity, actually, in the last 6 months in the face of this ethnic cleansing and mass murder campaign by the Israelis. So are we really to believe that if Israel continues this potential World War III escalation, that the U.S. are going to tell Israel you're on your own? I seriously doubt it. But apparently that's what he has told Netanyahu. Anyway, we have Daryl on the line. Daryl, what do you think? Is this BS from Joe Biden, more for his domestic audience? Or is the U.S. finally shown to be capable of some maturity and restraint itself?
Well, the U.S. is the ultimate actions speak louder than words, because they've recently been saying, you know, some things that the Arabs like, or some other moderates people like, telling the Israelis to cool it a bit, and then but they don't change anything. Their policies don't change. It's just the ultimate lip service. So yeah, nothing. No, the answer is no to that. The Iranians they used a few million dollars of weaponry at last night. It wasn't that much, and it talk about $1 billion of Israeli missiles coming from the U.S. of course, and most of them, and a lot of them. And so the proportionality, it's like you were saying about the Russians, you know, and the Ukrainians. The Iranians could drain the air defenses if they kept doing that, but they won't. You know what? They didn't even want to attack in the first place. They were looking for condemnation from the U.S. or from the U.K. from this obvious, like, just completely blatant illegal thing that they did on April 1st in Damascus. But they didn't get anything from the Security Council, nothing, the crickets. So they felt like they had no choice, because otherwise the Israelis are going to do it over and over again anywhere. And, you know, and the Iranians didn't get in the dirt. I mean, they could have easily gotten the dirt with Israel. They could have killed some embassy or something in the Middle East or in Europe or something like that, and done the same thing. But they warned the Israelis. They warned the world they were going to send all these things over, knowing about 90% of these missiles were going to get shot down. It's very similar to what they did with Soleimani. They shot some missiles to the outskirts of a very accurate missile, to the outskirts of a base in Iraq, knowing they weren't going to kill anybody, just to, you know, as a warning shot. I mean, they're very sophisticated people. So they didn't want to do this, but the world and the Iranian backers, I mean, the Israeli backers forced them into it, Paul.
Yeah, and it's a good point that, you know, there was absolutely zero condemnation from Israel's allies about, you know, the attack on that Iranian consulate in Damascus, which is a disgrace because obviously it should be embarrassing or a great ally to violate the international law and international norms in such an obvious and heinous way and to have such disregard for international norms and law. It should be an embarrassment. It should have prompted condemnation. And like you said, the United Nations Security Council didn't condemn it either, which the Iranians pointed out would probably have been sufficient for them to, or if they'd have taken some kind of action, even if they'd have just, went through the motions, it would have prevented them from feeling they had to make any kind of response to it. And of course, already immediately it's 4 p.m. today, so it'll be at 9 p.m. over here. The Israelis have called for an urgent United Nations Security Council meeting. No doubt, like we're saying, the same allies who refuse to condemn the attack in Damascus, they've been out in force, the EU, Canada, Schultz in Germany, Rishi Sunak, Macron, the usual suspects have all been condemning this this unprecedented attack on, directly on Israel soil. It's interesting, by the way, that they're at pains to point out that, this is an unprecedented attack. This is the first attack that the Iranians have perpetrated directly on Israeli soil. Because if you didn't know before, if you listen to some of these guys like John Bolton and some of these other, Zionist apologists for Iraq or for Israel, you would think that the Iranians were attacking them every other week,
Right. Yeah, in Israel. Well, that's perfect for them. And I mean, just like at the Security Council, they all they talk about is the, October 7th. And it's like the world in the Middle East never started. It began on October the 7th. So that's their mentality. So you just can't think what they're saying. And the West is talking about I'm watching all these news things. They show that they're taking, well, of course, they take the Israeli, chapter and verse, their propaganda that 99%+ of these missiles and drones, low-level drones, are knocked down. But, I watched a lot of the military channel, summary channels, the best in the world, actually, for non-biased. And it looks like a lot more than 1% hit home over there, even though the Iranians, they told them. They were targeting bases and military targets, unlike Iran, who targets people. So I mean, not Iran, Israel targets people. My dad is. I remember as a kid in the 1980s, my dad used to tell me that more than likely, and that was I think before Brezhnev was even dead, that Israel is going to be the Archduke Ferdinand. They're going to somehow start World War III from their actions. And I think we're really close to that, Paul. I think, before I went to bed last night, Paul, what I listened to? I listened to Bon Scott, Highway to Hell. I think that's where we're going.
Yeah. Like I said, I said ironically, I was joking with someone earlier. I said, we don't need to worry. We can relax because, we can rest assured and trust Israel that, there'll be... they'll be mature about it and show great restraint. They're like Isaac Herzog told us earlier, they're a nation of peace. It's like they're not prone to pugnacity.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, isn't that something? So what's next? I mean, Israel. Just to go along with that, normally, in 2014 or after October 7th, they attack like 50 to 150 times greater. The extent of what they do. Their proportionality isn't anywhere near what Mr. Herzog says. It's exactly the opposite. Well, isn't that what the Zionists are all about when they say one thing and then they completely do another? So if they continue to do this, I don't know what they're going to do. Their proportionality, considering, like I just said, it's going to be huge. I mean, Russia and China. China's a big ally, especially for oil and stuff from Iran. They're not going to sit back and watch this. And I don't know what the Americans are going to do, because they know that the Iranians, other than the nuclear weapons, there's no way that the Israelis can take the Iranians. So I mean, it's a really, really scary situation. One of the best things going on actually for the U.S. is that there's so much stuff going on in Ukraine, possibly over in Taiwan. They're preparing for that. So that kind of constrains the U.S. and the U.K. to some degree, to also in itself. in their response and their help possibly for Israel. So those other things might save us from getting into a really, really high-level battle here, Paul.
Yeah, they might be, but I mean, I fully expect, unfortunately, you know, I wish we could, you know, we could point the finger only at these Zionist Jews in Israel for their, you know, craziness, and like I said,
okay. Is that better? Okay. So, you know, it's like, yeah, people like John Bolton saying, you know, he just came out and said it today. Not only does Israel need to respond, but they need to respond disproportionately. In other words, you know, with much more force, with much, you know, make a much bigger statement than what Iran did. But Scott Ritter made a good point today. And, you know, on a Telegram channel, he was basically saying that this has shown that, you know, Iran has the capability that this attack, why they telegraphed it and that it was a base-keeping exercise to some extent, that the Israelis, you know, they need not doubt anymore that the Iranians can, from Iran, hit Israel directly with not only drones but cruise and ballistic missiles, and that the Israelis are now aware of that and that they need to take this into consideration. In other words, they can't think that they can just hit Iran and that Iran is some toothless little nation with no capability. That they do have capability. But, you know, I it does concern me what the Israelis will do next, because I think it will be a big attack and it will be over the top. And then you're going to see a real response from Iran. And where is this going to end? You know, the United States probably will get drawn in at some point. I don't know. I mean, the whole thing is a disaster, really. And, you know, this is the whole point, though, of that attack on the consulate in Damascus. This was a deliberate provocation to escalate the situation, because, like I said, they're a salivating mad dog who've been wanting to get out of Iran and get this whole war with Iran going for decades now, you know. I'm going to let you go, Darrell, because I've got a couple of other callers I want to get to in the last 10 minutes, but... thank you for calling in, as always. Andy in Texas. Go ahead, Andy. What do you think? Maybe he's on mute, is he? Okay, well, Andy, if you're still there, I'll hold you there. We'll go to John in Austin, and then we'll come back to you. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Paul. Well, so much to say and so little time to say it, but
sorry.
I think I've been following this thing in Palestine for about maybe 8 years. I remember when I did, there was quite a few videos that you could see on YouTube that were made by, you know, I'm sorry, my brain's just gone. People like Jerusalem Al-Quds, and there was another one, and I used to see how these Palestinians in the West Bank were being treated by these settlers, and it was absolutely horrifying. I mean, I saw violence in Northern Ireland in the early 70s, mate, but it was a Sunday school picnic compared to the crap you see over there. And then now, in this, the thing that we've been in...
We gotta support this if we're Christians, you know.
Yeah, well, it's not any god that I would worship, but we've heard enough of these Israeli politicians and military leaders since this last round kicked off. They're not going to stop until every Palestinian is either dead or gone from Gaza. And what I don't, one of the things that really gets me is these people at the United Nations, they must have heard this as well. They must be aware of their intention. But they're still harping on about hopefully a two-state solution. And I don't know how many of these Israeli leaders are as mental as Netanyahu. But boy, I would love to get him in a room all by myself. I would kick seven shades out of him, boy. What a...
Yeah, well, I mentioned Scott Ritter there,
Someone was mentioned to me earlier that Scott Ritter said that for the sake of war and peace, the Iranians should take him out, you know. But then you've got Smotrich, who's maybe even more extreme than Netanyahu, and you've got Ben-Gvir. You know, the state of Israel itself, there was a poll done where 68% of the Israeli population support the policy Gaza. I mean, you know, I guess these people think, okay, you know, I don't know. I mean,
they're taught from birth to believe that Palestinians aren't human.
Yeah,
that's one of the things. Listen, if Andy's here, I'll get off and let him on. Okay.
All right, thank you, John. It was good to speak to you again.
All right,
Andy, go ahead.
Hey, can you hear me, gentlemen?
Yes, Andy, go ahead, sir.
Oh, no, okay, so, no, let's take a look at, I'll be real quick here, let's take a look at, you know, there's a lot of protests going after Netanyahu, Bibi, you know, and we're like, yeah, go, yeah, protest this guy, and guess what he's doing, and guess what they're protesting? They're protesting that they have not done enough to get rid of the Palestinians. They're protesting that you need to do more. They're not protesting that they don't want him in his office anymore. They're protesting that they want them to do more. You're not doing enough. You should get rid of these Palestinians. You get rid of the Gazans. They got to go. And is that not just off the charts?
Yeah, well, it is shocking. Like John was saying, you know, I think they're taught from a very, very young age, aggressively, that the Palestinians are, you know, subhuman, that they want to kill them. They believe, you know, they are very, very propagandized, you know, the Holocaust, you know, is invoked, you know, constantly. You know, this kind of narrative is thrust upon these people a lot. Not that I'm making excuses for them, but I think that does explain some of it. These people are paranoid and extremely racist is the reality of it. So, you know, anybody who says, well, you know, this Netanyahu is like one one bad apple, I mean, this is nonsense. You know, there's a lot of support within the majority of the people in Israel want to get rid of the Palestinians, you know.
No, you're absolutely right. And the problem with today's society is that we just let this stuff happen. We really don't care. You're just going to, tomorrow, you're going to get up and go to work, and you're going to do your thing. And the next day, you're going to do the same thing. And that's what everybody's doing right now. They don't really give a crap what's going on in the world. And that's where, therein lies where our problem is, because we just don't care. I mean, face it. I mean, do I care? No, I actually don't care, because there's nothing for me to care about, because there's no beginning to anything that's going to change this. So why should I care? Why should you care? Why should anybody care at all? Who cares? Nobody cares.
Well,
January 6th killed us.
Yeah. Well, you know, you know, even if you do care, and I think there's been a big response around the world, you know, with solidarity for the Palestinians. But, you know, at the end of the day, this whole democracy is a facade, really, for the most part. So it doesn't really matter if you care or not. You know, you don't really get to decide anything, you know?
No, we don't. And that's the problem in the world, is that you don't have any decisions to make anymore. They're already made for you. Thank you, gentlemen, for your time. I appreciate you.
Thank you very much, Andy. All right. Yeah, so we can only, you know, watch and pray, I suppose, that the Lord be merciful on us. I mean, yeah, this war in Ukraine shouldn't have happened. You know, now they've passed this bill to bring even more young men into this meat grinder, and they're, you know, there's no appetite. The young Ukrainian men know exactly what awaits them. And then you've got this nightmare scenario in the Middle East. So
let's hope somehow that cool heads will prevail, and because, you know, this really is on the precipice of World War III, really. Like I said, you know, you've got Iran backed by, you know, Putin and China, and you've got the West, who are basically insane. They just double down, triple down, quadruple down. It's frightening, really. They just a bunch of maniacs. Anyway, thank you for everyone who's listened in today. If you're around next week, join me again next week, and I will be back again, same time. That is 1 p.m. Central, 2 p.m. Eastern. Do support the network. Like I said earlier, if you want to support me, you can do that on PayPal, Stevenson_B5sky.com. Until then, take care and God bless.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.